Welcome to the Jamoti Podcast. We are all surrounded by amazing coaches and leaders. So let's get an inside look at not just what they do, but how they do what they do. After all, becoming the best versions of ourselves is Jamoti, just a matter of doing it. Coaches, the Jamoti Podcast is powered by Shoot 360. The future of basketball has arrived in Dallas-Fort Worth. Shoot 360 combines the latest sports technology with the fundamentals of basketball skill development. The result is a one-of-a-kind video game-like basketball program designed to improve your shooting, dribbling, and passing. Visit shoot360dfw.com to learn more and register for your free one-hour workout evaluation. Shoot 360, the future of basketball is here. So we're sitting at, how long ago was that at the Colony that Coach Ryan set up that? Was that 2 years? Almost 3 years ago?
Yeah, I think it might have been three. I think
was it pre or post COVID?
Well, that's a hard. It's bad that that's like such a dividing line of our timeline. But yeah. I feel like it was on the just on the other side.
I feel like I think it was so too.
On the other side of guys kind of getting back out and back together. Because if you remember, I'm pretty sure Toby brought his dog to that stinking thing.
And Toby, that's like, right.
You're just trying to get out of the house, man.
Yeah. I think it was just we all had so much free time that we were just so excited to get to go to that. But, you know, that again, that a motivation for getting to do this is to create some of those moments that we had there. And so the next question that I love to ask is what's something that you borrowed lately? But if you don't mind, I'm actually going to answer it first. Which I don't like to do, but I'm going to answer first because it's I borrowed from you, okay. And I've given you, hopefully, you know, I've given you a lot of credit for that. But I've always struggled to meet with players and to have I think random meetings are great, and just like teachable moments, we need to always be willing in practice to stop for a teachable moment. Or in the locker room and forget the practice plan, forget anything else. But as far as scripted moments to where I know I can hit everybody, like I've been bad at that. And you brought it up at that meeting of the 10-minute meetings that you do with players and how the first 5 minutes they get to ask or you ask questions, and the second 5 minutes they get to ask questions and anything that they want. Well, man, I started doing that last year and it's to me has been just a huge enhancement to our program, because from freshman all the way up through, everybody feels like they get a little bit of time, you know, with the head coach, which a lot of times that doesn't happen. And I've had some parents reach out to and say thank you that for investing time, and it was only 10 minutes. Like it wasn't like that much, but it meant a lot to them. And I've been able to get to know players better. That all came from you, and it's something that I think it's one of the best things I've borrowed lately. So I appreciate that.
No, that's so awesome to hear you say that, only because I felt the same way at the time. I was like, you know, I Frankenstein the idea of Buzz Williams meet with somebody important in your program every day. And I was like, well, I don't have, you know, boosters. I don't have all these. So who are my most important people? Our players. Hmm. And then I thought, you know, I can be long-winded and players, if I say, hey, let's have a meeting, you don't want the eye roll. All right, it's 10 minutes. At the end of 10 minutes, we're both out. But what I found was players will ask questions, and players have questions that they only get out whenever you present the opportunity for them to ask. And so they have you. They have your full attention. I ask kind of dumb questions on purpose so they know that it's not going to all be about a transition, how many threes you made this week, those kinds of things. And I have learned how to solve a Rubik's Cube. One of my guys who's way smarter than me, like that. That's a really cool thing, man. Just all the interest you have. I know one of my guys likes to play the guitar, like chords, and that I never would have otherwise understood. And most importantly, I think I can see a struggle in a player now and know the root of it. I know what it's coming from. Instead of as a coach, you're kind of guessing. You're guessing, well, that looks like this. That's selfish. That's lazy. That's this. But I know the root of that is. You know, his aunt just relocated and is now living in the same house. He's now in the same room with his sibling. Like, I know the difference and change in their life, and it makes a huge impact. And I think that them understanding that I care about those things, not just, hey, how many points can you score on Friday night? I think it's been huge for me. So that's actually something I was curious about. I've seen the pictures of a 10-minute meeting. You're way better about, you know, This is when it happened. I am the worst social media guy in the world. That's somebody to help, but
I don't know. In our program, we get to, you know, the same dudes, and especially varsity players, get a majority of the pictures. The only cringe moments I have with those pictures is that I'm in it. I probably just need to, but it's a meeting. We're having the meeting together. But you know, it's one of the few times that some of those players, you know, get to do that. And I don't know. I do think, especially now, cause it, you know, we're coaching parents that are, you know, are our age or yeah. They have most likely they're on social media. They're watching those things. Right. They're maybe even not on purpose, but they're subconsciously counting how many times that kid's mentioned and where's mine. And so it's just a way to, it's an easy way, I think, for us just to shine some light on some of the other players of our programs.
No, that's good. I mean, it's smart. And as that had gone along, just for this chance right here, did you feel like it was an awkward process at first? It's gotten better. Do you feel like it's been consistent? Like how has that been for you from start to where you are
running
now?
It?
Yeah.
Oh, well, so I used Volunteer Link to set up the times. And so I just sent out the link. I say, hey guys, here's the window and we're going to take the next 2 weeks. Just pick the best time that's for you. I think we've almost always got 100%. There's the stragglers that, you know, it doesn't matter what you text them, they're going to act like they didn't read it, or maybe they didn't read it or they didn't pay attention. But, so I try to do it before school so that it's not, you know, super, it doesn't mess up their day after school or anything like that. But also for me, like it doesn't mess with, you know, my schedule as well. We can both get there about 10 to 15 minutes earlier than we need to. It's interesting to see the guys that prepare for it and the guys that don't. Like and early on, like maybe the first or second time, like, hey, all right, you're 5 minutes, go. And that, you know, blank look on their face. But then again, it's you get, like you said, you get to learn about these kids a little bit more. I mean, the ones that really do like take things seriously and want to know, I like when they ask personal questions, because I don't know about you. I don't like to talk about, you know, my playing days or what my personality as a coach. Like I don't like to get into that very much with them. So when they ask, like, that's kind of fun, and yeah, we get to have that shared experience. So it's been great, man.
No, I'm very much that same way, because I just don't talk about it only because I don't make anything about me. I don't want players to think that I'm making it about me. But it has given them plenty of chances to ask those questions. It's funny you brought up the nervousness that some players might have. I will never forget, there were two guys in particular. The first time we met, I almost couldn't answer what they were asking because, you know, fidgety, shaking. I was like, and I thought of myself as a guy that made myself available, open door policy, always approachable. And I was amazed how these guys are scared to death. Like we're just sitting here hanging out, very casual. It's not like just sitting here, relaxed. And so much so, the first meeting I ever have, I always ask, like, what are your favorite snacks? And if I can get, like, parents to provide that, we can have, I want you to be as comfortable and as ease as possible, because you understand practice, Coach Lee. You understand in-game timeouts. I get it. And there's some intense moments, and that's what competition is at times. But you very rarely get the guy who actually enjoys to laugh and tell a joke. But the first couple of times, they were so nervous. They were fidgety and, you know, shoes just wouldn't stop moving, feet bouncing. I was like,
"Nice." Eye contact, very just, very shifty. But they've gotten better.
Yeah. Well, then you get to guys that they know you like to prepare. Then they bring their phone out. Okay, here's my question.
Uh huh.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'd love to know what's something that you've borrowed lately.
All right. So I'm going to cheat the lately a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm going to answer it with I think it's the most important thing I've stolen, and it has nothing to do with a basketball guy. Jocko Willink, you know the name?
Former love his man. Energy drinks, man.
Man, well, I don't know about his energy. I just love his energy.
Yeah.
But that guy, so the extreme ownership, you know, like the idea when I first heard that, it just really hit home to where, you know, anything that doesn't go your way is your fault. And I'm oversimplifying that, of course, but, you know, that idea, that sentence, that phrase is something that we really don't want said in our direction. But when you stop and think about it, all he's really saying is you can't improve anything without addressing and acknowledging the parts that you have control in, that you have, you know, if we focus all of our energy, which I feel like too many people do all the time right now, in blaming that or, you know, point our energy in things that you really don't have that much control over, you're really wasting time. You need to find and identify the things that you can improve. And so I think it's actually a very healthy way to look at the practice. Well, if guys weren't sure of where to be, or guys weren't, it's my fault. Well, then I can fix that. I can improve that. And I think the hard part you have to kind of add to that for basketball or competition is, you know, it's not a you blame yourself in a shame kind of way. You know, I mean, it's not like you beat yourself up about it. It's not you know, well, woe is me. I'm always doing things wrong. Not at all. It's if things aren't the way they need to be, or things aren't at the level that you want them to be, it's my fault. And
now what? And now what? Like that to me is the next, it's the action step after that. Coach, it's so funny that you brought that up. And I mean this. So today on just a random Wednesday, I had two conversations scheduled. And the one this morning was with Coach Artez, I believe is how you say his name, from Bethel, Bethel College. And he brought up that book today and how much it had an impact on him. And you're right on the money. I mean, I think if you, it's not a woe is me. It, to me, it reshapes. I think of any moment in a game where your players underperform. If you take more ownership of that, like, I think we'll be less angry. I mean, because most of our anger comes from, you know, something that they didn't do. But if you turn that back around, is the reason they didn't do that is because I haven't taught it well enough yet. I haven't held them accountable enough yet.
Right.
Am I going to get mad? I mean, I might get mad at myself, but am I going to scream and yell and punch things? And no, because it's my fault. I do think that's a huge mind shift there.
It definitely is. And what you said, I think that the word yet in that phrase is a huge part of it, because it doesn't mean just because it was wrong today doesn't mean it's wrong forever. I mean, there's a chance to improve it, but there's only a chance to improve it, I think, if you identify it and if you see it. And when I first heard the concept, I didn't fully understand it, or I guess I didn't fully understand how it applied to what we do in coaching. And I think more than anything, I mean, I had a new assistant this year. My previous varsity assistant got a head position and was able to move on. So happy for him. But I remember in practice, one of the first things I said early in the fall, I was like, look, stay with me. I know you think I'm crazy. But the first time you think your group that you have in a segment of practice isn't what you want it to be, I want you to understand it's your fault. I was like, you know, and tried to explain. Send him the link, send, you know, the video, check this guy out, understand where I'm coming from with this. But that version of accountability, where it starts with yourself, if I could give that to each of my players, then we're good. Like, they're set, because at the end of the day, you're going to find ways to be successful, because you're finding ways you can improve on, you know, studying. You're finding ways you can improve on your ball, the skill work for sure. But I just love it, man. It's permeated all of what I've done. And I'm sure that guys think that, you know, when I say that, or when they're, hey, it's my fault, and try to take the ownership to get better with it. I'm sure that they kind of think that's a little cliche because you hear it so much, but I've fully embraced it, and I couldn't believe anything more than that. So I think.
Well, I think they're gonna hear you say it, but they're gonna watch your actions closely to see if your actions actually back that up, you know, or your future sentences, or in 30 minutes if it backs that up, or you know, I think we always have to be careful about what we say to other people, because it gets back around to your players. I've had times where I've heard from other sports or another coach say, yeah, golly, my guy, they just didn't do what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And their players hear that, and they tell my players, who they tell me, because it is a pet peeve of mine. Like, you don't throw your players under the bus. It is. I've never read that book, but it's right. Like, it's my fault, guys. And I think coaches have said this before: when we win, it's because of the players. When we lose, it's because of us. That's nice to say, but do you really believe that? Like, do you really mean that?
Well, and honestly, at that phrase, I have a hard time with that, because I've used it on the reverse. I really do believe you can take 2 hours after a game that you weren't supposed to win, and you guys pulled it out, mm-hmm. and you guys won. And I think that, you know, there's a game in particular that I'm not going to mention any names, but like, I can tell you that I was so proud of how we played, mm-hmm. because you don't always play to the game plan, play to the scout the way that, you know. But on that night we did, and to their credit, it worked out well. Our guys were prepared for the moment. They functioned well in the moment. And it's not like I take all the credit by any means, but it's at least a moment of acknowledging that worked out well. Well, you can evaluate the same thing. Well, why? Why did it work out well? How do we, what were the, our 2 day prep leading into that? How was our 2 day prep that for that game?
Yeah.
Any different than what it was games before? So I just think that being able to own your part to constantly make it better. I just remember the conversations of how it started, the contrast being in a coach's office and hearing guys talk about players.
Yeah.
Well, this guy never stays for open gym, and this guy never this, and this guy never that. True statements. I hear you. But like I said, public school in Texas perspective, that's still our starting point guard. You know what I mean? That's still the guy we're going to have to defend with this guy.
Yeah.
So I hear you that he can't guard a chair, but he's going to have to guard somebody on Tuesday. So, like, you got to find a way to do the best with what you have. And I think that, you know, extreme ownership it's been awesome in my mind.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think we touched on that word yet, because we have to remind ourselves. I think it's good to remind players, like this last year's, this team for us. I mean, I really thought they were going to be, it's kind of funny. They were our best shooting team we've ever had. They made 433 threes, and it was like, it was pretty cool. I actually thought they'd make around 500. Percentage wise, even though I don't care about that much, but like, there are a lot of games, and I can think of one in particular where we went 6 for 44 from three. And coach, they're wide open shot. Like, they're what we would consider sevens, like not bad shots. We're just coming down and jacking it up and missing things. And I could see the frustration in their eyes and how they felt. And I just kept saying, hey, listen, we are a great shooting team. We just didn't show it that night, or we haven't shown it yet, or something like that, you know. But that's a great reminder for ourselves when our team comes up short, not to just dismantle everything and rip it apart. We're not where we're going to be yet, and then that helps you with that phrase that you talked about, is owning it. Continue mm-hmm. to stay positive through that process.
For sure. No, I think it's funny you mentioned the shot selection. Grading system. That's definitely something I stole from you, from the same
PGC, you know, man. That's where I got it from.
Well, I'm just telling you, we all the time are, you know, in film, what's that? It's a six.
Yeah.
You know, well,
take the emotion out of it, man. Yep.
No, 100%. And so that has helped. But the goal, end game goal of all this is I truly hope to pass it on to others. I hope to model it well enough that they understand it is, you know, in my imperfection version of it, it's a sincere attempt to model it well, so that you would there in turn take that with you wherever you go. If you're an assistant that's going to be a head coach one day, I hope you take that with you wherever you go. If you're a player, wherever you're going, you know, I mean, our guys, it's a cool spot at Wakeland. We have guys that graduate and go all over the country, every kind of school you can imagine. So if you take that with you and you don't blame this professor that hates me,
yeah,
you know, then that's going to help you no matter what you choose to do with it.
Yeah, you're right. It's so far beyond basketball. I mean, I'm just thinking for myself, like every year you're kind at the beginning of this to say that I looked like I was in good shape or whatever. I'm not, but every year I feel like I get heavy during the season. And you could say, and I've probably felt, well, it's just the, you know, the stress of what we do, or it's late and I'm hungry. This, no, it's my fault. I'm shoving the Raisinets in my mouth after a game. Like, I'm stopping at the gas station and getting one of those apple pies, which are disgusting if you think about how long that they last on that shelf and don't go bad. Like, again, taking that ownership, why did this relationship go so bad? Sure, there's some truth, like you said, about the guy can't guard, he's not in the gym. There's some truth to these things, but then what part did I play in it? What can I control? Coach, that is a huge life lesson, man.
Yeah, and I don't think you have to be, you know, a naive idiot where you can't acknowledge, say, that official's call, that hurt. Like, that definitely hurt. And you can't control ultimately whether he's block or charge. You can't. You can acknowledge that. And you can acknowledge how other things impact a scenario. I don't think you have to, you know, put your head in the sand and pretend that things don't exist. I just think that the extreme, and that's why, you know, the label of extreme ownership is that it helps you kind of filter out the parts that do apply to you. It helps you filter out the parts that you do have any kind of impact or control on, and you can fix those, you can change those, you can at least improve those. And I think that's the goal. You kind of mentioned this, or you said a phrase earlier that made me think of the origin of this for me is I always thought about Kobe Bryant as a player. And the reason I always thought about Kobe is because in my eyes, if there was a guy who got to a point that could feel like, well, I made it, let's relax, yeah, or whatever, it'd be him.
Yeah.
But to me, as an example of a player, what I love about the stories of Kobe is the reason he rubbed guys the wrong way is because of how much he worked and how much he invested in it. Like, that's the greatest thing.
He was a different guy, man, a different character. Yeah.
That's the greatest compliment you could ever give me. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I couldn't stand him. He worked too hard. But having said that, if you're at that elite level, you are the elite of the elite, and you see it as, I can get better. I can still get better. If somebody's at that high of a level, you know, who am I to think I can't and shouldn't be getting better? And so that's it. Like, to me, it doesn't matter where you are. Always find ways to get better. Always find a chance and a place to evolve. Always find somewhere that this isn't as good as it could be. And to your credit, in something like this, be it an outside opinion, something somebody else has done that you haven't ever even thought of or considered, that can make you better as long as you're open to it. Yeah. So you don't have to pretend like there are factors that you can't control. There are definitely factors that you can't control. But I just think that we spend too much of our time and energy on those things. I mean, so much so, if you watch what I used to love to watch in sports talk, you know, TV, it's actually in text now on the bottom of it. Who's to blame? That's the worst game you could. Come on, man. What are we doing?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yourself. You're the one to blame. You're the one that you're the coach. You're the player. What can you do better? Don't blame somebody else for that.
Yeah, extreme ownership, I think it allows you to have a growth mindset.
For sure.
How can you have a mixed or a fixed mindset when you're owning it? Unless you have a defeatist attitude, which is, I'm owning it, I suck, I can't do anything about it. No, I'm owning it. What can I control? I think growth mindset is like the next step from that ownership.
Man, I'm telling you, like, in one of the coolest versions of either video, he has his own podcast too. I want to give Jocko all the credit for all the ideas. It's all his original idea. But he said that people used to hate to talk to him because they'd come to him with their problems. But he had one word answer for it. He'd say, good. His response was, you know, hey, you know, my kid woke up sick this morning and I lost 2 hours of sleep and couldn't do this, flat tire on the way to work. And if they said it to him, his response was good. And they said people would get agitated by that. But, you know, if you really go to the depth of what he's saying and why he's saying it, he's telling you, okay, well, find the good.
How's it going to make you better? How's it going to make you stronger? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of just laying in the mess, true fact, that's a mess. That's not good. Leslie, I get it. But his response of good, I loved it because he ended the kind of story session by saying, guy walks up, guy starts the story and says, you know what, never mind. You're just going to say good. And he's like, you're right. And that was it.
You got to be careful with that one, though. If your wife comes up to you and says, this happened to me today, good.
Do you want to sleep on the couch or not? No, I think it's it's all in the context of knowing where you're coming from. Like,
Good.
Because that's why I try and tell. Like I said, I had a new assistant this year. I had to try and help them understand. I know you don't know me well enough yet, but you have to know I'm not blaming you for this whole thing. I'm not trying to put this all on you. I'm trying to help you understand something that's been priceless for me as a coach. But, yeah, context matters.
Good.
Thank you for checking out today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast, share it with your fellow coaches, and find us on social media for what's coming up next on the Jamoti Podcast. It's just a matter of doing it.